Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Wanted to go over a news story with you that I think will blow your mind. I just heard it today when I was listening to the most recent Grants podcast from Jim Grant. I think he calls it Jim Grant's Interest Rate Observer of the Air. Something he describes it in a way that only Jim Grant can. But 25% of total sales for high-end retail has come as a result of cryptocurrency gains. So I'm talking about cryptocurrency bubble. I think it's in a massive bubble. I'm not saying that Bitcoin is, but I mean, come on. We've got Dogecoin, Shiba Inu. I mean, give me a break. When you've got a joke of Bitcoin going up to, you know, creating billions of dollars worth of market capital, and then you've got a joke of the joke creating another $1 billion in market cap, or maybe even more. I mean, this is when you know that it's insane. And then when the football players or baseball players are taking their salary or a portion of their salary in Bitcoin, this is when you know it's in a bubble. And it's not to say that crypto isn't the future. It's just like internet stocks in 1999. They might be the future, but it doesn't mean they're not overpriced right now. A lot of froth. There's a lot of hysteria in the market. Remember, as rebel capitalists, we like to buy panic and sell hysteria. So, but what I want to do, because this is a concept that I've been wrestling with on a lot of my whiteboard videos for some time, at least 2 or 3 months, that how much of the purchasing power that we see in the United States economy right now today is a result of not only the stock market bubble, the housing bubble, but also the cryptocurrency bubble. And if our entire economy is built around these bubbles, what happens when the bubbles burst? So let's get into this podcast episode from Jim Grant and a good buddy of mine, Doomberg. You guys know him from Twitter. I've interviewed him once on my show, and he's a great follow on Twitter, by the way. He's got a really good Substack. But listen to this question from, I believe this is Evan Moran. I hope I'm getting his name right. I know he works with Jim Grant, but this really illustrates what I'm referring to. And then we're going to back it up with the actual story from Jefferies that he is referring to. So let me get the volume up on the mic and let's give this a quick listen.
I'd like to ask a follow-up if that's okay. So cryptocurrencies, as you pointed out, kind of have become more entwined with kind of broader risk markets. If something goes bump in cryptos, is there some kind of unforeseen spillovers that might be predictable today, but investors aren't thinking about? I mean, just to take one example, apparently analysts at Jefferies estimate that gains on cryptocurrencies accounted for up to a quarter of all the growth in luxury goods purchased in the U.S. last year. So a quarter of all the sales increase last year apparently were fueled by people cashing out of, you know, Dogecoin or Bitcoin or other things that gained. And if those fall, of course, that'll decline. Are there other, I guess, things that you can see now but people aren't thinking about that can happen if crypto does go bump in the night?
Okay, so the gentleman said that the crypto bubble or Dogecoin, Shiba Inu, what have you, what resulted in a quarter of the gains in high-end luxury sales. And it wasn't the quarter of the gain. He actually misspoke. It was the quarter of all sales, of total sales, not just the gain in sales. So, and let me go ahead and back that up with this article from Jefferies, or this is from Market Insider, but they are quoting Jefferies, the analyst, I believe, that they were quoting in the podcast. So I highlighted it right here. Our conversations would indicate as much as 20 to 25% of sales, not just sales growth, of sales period may have been generated by this phenomenon. And the phenomenon that they're talking about is the crypto market going up to, call it, $3 trillion in market cap. So I wanted to bring this to your attention to further illustrate what I have been saying for months now. And it's not just that the U.S. economy is tied or dependent upon asset prices, but the amount of dependency is increasing exponentially. So, you know, that this is one of the things that I've tried to get my head around since the beginning of the Cerveza sickness, is how is it that unemployment, and not now, but the way it was in 2020, goes up to people lose their jobs. We have all of these small and mid-sized businesses, the mom and pop shops, really going out of business. How can you have this much economic destruction? But yet I go to the local mall and the line to get into Louis Vuitton is 100 yards long. It's like, what? And for those of you who remember the GFC in 2009 and 2010, you remember that the line to Louis Vuitton was not 100 yards long. There was nobody going to Louis Vuitton. There was no one going to restaurants. There was no one staying in hotels. There was no one flying. The demand for these types of items above and beyond just the bare essentials dropped down to, I'm not going to say zero, but went down significantly during the GFC, as you would expect in an economic recession, for heaven's sakes. But this time we go through a deep economic recession. We get this super fast, quote unquote, recovery. It's not really recovery. Just where they paper over the problem, make things worse, and kick the can down the road. They just give the heroin addict more monetary heroin. And that's what we have this time. And therefore, those economic distortions that the government creates, it results in businesses not only staying open, but some businesses actually excelling and becoming more and more profitable. Now, the problem here is malinvestment and a misallocation of resources. So what should happen in an economic decline is Louis Vuitton, should their sales should go down, and therefore they hire fewer people, right? And the prices don't skyrocket, and therefore there's not as much strain on the supply chains. You see how this works? And then what also happens, assuming this is a result of a cryptocurrency bubble, when that cryptocurrency bubble eventually deflates, then what happens to all of the malinvestment and misallocation resources? All those people that Louis Vuitton hired, now they've got to fire them. And that puts those people in a compromising position. And all of that additional strain that was put onto the supply chains that they tried to fix, quote unquote, in order to get Louis Vuitton more goods that they were ordering because of the additional demand, now all of a sudden, the demand goes away. Therefore, the changes that were made to the supply chain are now void. They're invalid. And once again, the supply chain has to be changed to match actual demand from consumers that is sustainable over the long term. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macroeconomics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out of control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. These are the knock-on effects that I talk about all the time in my videos. And it's why I always end the videos by not just saying to stand up for freedom, liberty, and capitalism. No. You guys know how I end the videos. I say freedom, liberty, and free market capitalism. It's not just capitalism, just private property rights and call it, the rule of law. That isn't sufficient. What we need is free markets where the government stays out of it. And whatever business the market chooses to support, those are the ones that are going to thrive. And whatever businesses the market decides not to support, they're the ones that are going to go bust. It has nothing to do with stimmy checks, PPP loans, or government intervention. And then you say, well, George, what does that have to do with cryptocurrency? Well, the whole crypto bubble is a result of the Fed pushing individuals further and further and further out the risk curve. Think about it. If inflation is running at 10%, I don't care what the CPI is. If inflation is running at 10% and interest rates are at 0%, basically Fed funds, and you've got $100,000 in cash, you can't just sit that, park that in a bank. You most likely can't even really park it in stocks. You've got to take more and more and more risk, not just to increase your purchasing power, but to maintain your purchasing power. So you get to a certain point where you almost have to invest in cryptocurrency because that's the only asset class that's going up fast enough to keep pace with the rate of inflation, the inflation that the central planners caused in the first place. So I totally get why people have gone into crypto. I get why it's captured the imaginations of young people and retail investors that might not have experienced a bubble in the past. And they have the buy the dip mentality. They have the YOLO mentality. And that's a result of the central planners. So my whole point here is that when these bubbles eventually burst, which they have to, we have to think through how that will impact the economy. And it's not going to be rainbows and sunshine. I can tell you that. It's going to look a lot more like what we saw during the GFC. And you say, well, George, they'll just paper over the problem again. Not so fast. Are they really going to paper over the problem with inflation going from 7% to 7.5%? Maybe not. It creates a completely different dynamic that we as rebel capitalists have to pay attention to. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, stand up for freedom, liberty, and free market capitalism. And I'll see you on the next video.